I did think I might look up a few amusing Christmas jokes just to begin this evening on a slightly lighter note as I engage with God's word in a moment. So if you go on a website, you'll find 110 best Christmas jokes. Here's number one. No, sorry, that's all right. So just setting the theme, who is Santa's favourite singer? It is, of course, Elvis Presley. The second one I came up with, and this should be in the context of today, I want to disclaim any notion that I'm making any political statement by this whatever. But how will Christmas be different after Brexit? There will be no more Brussels. I told you they were bad. What did Adam say the day before Christmas? It's Christmas, Eve. There we are. Right, enough of that. I've got that off my chest. There you are. I suspect a few of us will look back on 2020 with much fondness. It won't, I guess, for any of us particularly, rate as a year to remember, except for the fact that for many of us it got a whole lot harder, less certain, more fearful. And it wasn't just COVID, was it? It threatened our jobs, our livelihoods, our mental health, the disruption, the loneliness. And if that wasn't enough, there were plenty of other things to keep us awake at night. You name it, Brexit, climate change, elections across the water, what was Donald up to? Ominous threats from China, lots of things to keep us awake at night. And so we've arrived at Christmas. What are we going to do? Well, surely the temptation is, isn't it, to put on the lights, to mull the wine, to take out the mince pies, light the fire, draw the curtains, and retreat safely inside. Escape. That's one way to do Christmas, isn't it? But of course, Christmas isn't an escape. 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, things were no better. In fact, they were a whole lot worse. Welcome to the harsh, unforgiving world of the first century Roman Empire. It's a world of injustice and violence. There are familiar things about it. There are forms to fill in and taxes to pay. Joseph knew about that. But this is a world where people were exploited. Power was abused. It's a land under military occupation by an invading army. It's ruled by a collaborator, a tin pot king called Herod. It's a world in which evil is applauded, families are divided, and death in all its forms is pretty nearby. And across that first century world, and across that town of Bethlehem, there was a sadness, a loss, a loneliness, a longing. People were desperate for hope. Perhaps as many people feel today. People say, why? Why is it happening? How long is it going on for? Desperate for hope. It's no wonder the Bible, when it describes the world of the first century and our world today and every point in between, describes it as a world in darkness. Here's Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, referred to in that last reading. And he's singing one of the very first Christmas carols, and this is what he sings. He sings of those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. People desperate for hope, for something to hold on to, something to look forward to, for someone to say it will get better and know that it will and they can make it happen. See, not like our Christmas trees. You know, our Christmas trees, we bring them in and we put them up and they're full of hope. They decorate our homes and our streets. They're full of hopeful green and sparkling lights and the fresh smell of the forest. But the reality is they are dying. Come the 6th of January, the lights will be gone and you'll drag that tree out and there'll be going brown pine needles absolutely everywhere. Even at Christmas, it looks like death is winning. So sadly, the lights, the presents, the mince pies that I so much love and all the rest, it will not do the trick. But listen to what John says. You can see it on the sheet. If you have a look at your sheet, you'll see there some words from our last Bible passage. And it's John who's speaking. And he says this: "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now that's John, the gospel writer, telling us about Jesus, describing Christmas. And he says, Christmas is this: the light shines. Now, he's already identified who this light is. He is the Word who was with God and who was God. John says this light is God coming into the darkness. And he sums it up. This is Christmas, he says. You can see it there on the sheet. It's verse 14. The light, or the Word. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what does John tell us about Christmas? What does he tell us about the baby? Well, the first thing he says is that he came from the Father. And that's the point. Christmas is all about a divine invasion. The glory of God appeared, he says. God came. I guess this last year will have shown us any number of things, but here's one for sure. This last year has told us that we're not in control of the world in which we live. Pretty obvious thing to say. We don't have the answers. You see, this tiny little virus has turned the world upside down. It's disrupted our lives, it's threatened our jobs, it's restricted our freedoms, it's cancelled our holidays, and it's brought death close to home for many families. And we've been absolutely powerless. Yes, we're just about to roll out a vaccine, and that's great good news, but don't be fooled. It's only good until the next time. And the next tiny little virus sends in us in a complete panic. And if, as some would have us believe, life is really no more than blind forces, chemical processes, and random choices, then actually this is as good as it gets. If you believe the Richard Dawkins lie, this is as good as it gets, folks. Questions, but no answers. Despair, but no hope. Darkness, but no light. But you see, here's the wonder and the beauty of Christmas. Christmas says God came. He came from the outside. That means he's not part of the mess. That's the point. He came, born into our mess, into our world of sorrow and pain, of sin and death. And he comes into this world, his world, because he loves us. He comes. God comes. That's Christmas. I wonder if I asked you, what would you say would be the hardest things that you've ever had to face in your life? You know, you look back however long you've got to look back. What have been the hardest things that you've ever faced in your life? Being homeless? Maybe even a refugee? He's been there. seeing someone you love die. He's been there. Being betrayed by a friend. Yes, he's been there. Lonely, let down, and misunderstood, ignored, all of those, faced mental anguish and physical pain. He's been there. Been condemned for what he didn't do, a victim of a rigged trial, an unjust judge, humiliated, tortured, murdered. Yes, that too. He's been there. He knows. In fact, there is absolutely nothing that any of us ever had to face that in some ways he has not already faced. God came because God cares. That's Christmas. He came for you because he loves you. And then John goes on to tell us what he's doing. He came from the Father. He came, he tells us, full of grace. Full of grace. What does that mean? Now, most of us here probably, now I can see a few to whom it might not apply, but most of us here reckon we're probably too old to believe in Santa. I won't ask for a show of hands. But most of us still operate on a Santa-based approach to life and to God. What do I mean by that? It means that deep down, you and I work on the theory that life owes us something. We work on the assumption that God owes us something. You know how it works. It's the same every year. Santa asks the question, doesn't he? Have you been good? That's his Christmas question, without fail. Have you been good? In other words, do we deserve a big present? To which the obvious answer is, I mean, we're not mugs, are we? We say, yes, of course I do. Which is the wrong answer. The right answer, of course, is no, I don't. Absolutely no way. I mean, what chances, what do you reckon the chances that you and I will get through the Christmas period without having a family bust up? An argument. It'll be about something which is of absolutely no significance whatever. But we will fall out over it. And why will we fall out of it? Because we're selfish. Which is why the world is like it is. You see, there's all those people in wherever they're meeting, Brussels or wherever, finding it impossibly hard to do a deal about trade. Why is it so impossibly hard? Because none of them want to lose. Because Boris and 27 others all want to come out on top, every single one of them. They all want to look good. They all want to be able to say they've won. They all want to say, I'm in charge. That's what we do. That's what nations do. That's the why the world is like it is. We want to wear the crown. You want to wear a crown. We want to sit on the throne. So do I. And once you've got more than one person doing that, you've got a problem. Welcome to our world. And what's more, when we're all saying to the only one who's actually qualified to sit on the throne, no thank you, clear off. That's there too, by the way, in John's summing up of Christmas. He says, we didn't recognize him. We ignored him. We wouldn't welcome him. We rejected him. The one and only from the Father, untainted by the mess, coming for our rescue, and we rejected him. Yet he comes, full of grace, full of kindness, of love. There's no way we deserve. You see, Christmas isn't the Santa principle in operation. It's just the opposite. This isn't Santa's present for good people who've earned it, but God's gift for bad people who never could. You do know that's what Christmas means, don't you? This is God's gift for bad people who could never, ever themselves earn it. He comes full of grace for you and me. That's Christmas. To be loved as we've never been loved before. To be forgiven. The slate literally wiped clean. To be accepted. To be welcomed. To be secure. To have a future where things will be better and forever. This baby is on a mission of rescue. It'll take him to the very darkest place, to the depths of cruelty and injustice that mar our world. It'll take him to a cross, to a Roman place of execution. Come to save, come for you and for me. And he extends the gift for us to accept and to receive, the gift and the giver, the God who longs to shower us with overwhelming kindness. John says he's full of grace. He's from the Father. He's full of grace. And another thing, he says he's full of truth. I wonder if you're someone who doesn't like the dark. It can be quite frightening, can't it? Darkness. Maybe late at night on unfamiliar roads and not sure where you're going. Or maybe a fog has come down. I remember last year coming back on the A267 from Tunbridge Wells, and we were reduced to probably 10 miles an hour. You just couldn't see more than a few yards in front of you. Well, maybe that's how 2020 has felt. As if we're in the dark. No idea what's coming next. And you think, well, it'll be different next year, won't it? No, it won't. It'll be just the same. Because it's always like that. COVID may have added an extra dimension to our uncertainty, but the truth is, none of us know what tomorrow will bring. We don't have a clue. We don't know what 2020 will look like, 2021 will look like. And when you don't know, it can feel really scary, especially when it comes to the things that really matter in life. Life, death, eternity. And that's why John speaks about the light that comes and dispels the darkness, the light of truth, the word that reveals from the Father, full of truth. And that's truth with a capital T, by the way. He's not talking about my truth, as I perceive it, based on my experience today, but truth that doesn't change, that stands for all people in every age, truth, the truth of God, our Creator, who made this world and everything in it, who designed a world of beauty and order, a world teeming with the creatures that he'd made, and men and women designed to live in relationship with him, to live by the truth that he's spoken, if you like, according to the Maker's instructions, is how we're meant to live. The one who knows us better than we know ourselves, what will make us happy, what will satisfy our longing, who understands the past, who directs the future. And the baby says, this truth, and he is truth, remember, this truth will set you free. Free to be the people you and I were created to be. Free to love and to be loved by the God who loves us. Free to live with purpose, knowing who we are as his children, why we're here, to live for the one whose service is perfect freedom and be satisfied. Free to live with confidence for the future, knowing where we're going and unafraid because we know that death is not the end and that the very best is still to come. That's Christmas. God, the one and only, from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. God has come. God to the rescue. God, the light of truth in our darkness. A truth that will overcome our darkest fears and satisfy our deepest longings. And in my book, that spells hope. This Christmas, of all Christmases, when we sense the despair of our world, the baby comes, God with us, Jesus, and he's born for you. And he's born for me. So can I simply ask you, what will you do because of Christmas? Get out the mulled wine, light the fire, draw the curtains, and escape. Or will you live in the light of Christmas? As new people, confident people, unafraid people, because you've met with the baby, full of grace, full of truth. If you'd like to think some more about what we've been talking about tonight, you'll find a leaflet on your chair, which kind of mirrors the talk that you've just heard. Or it may be that you'd like to think more about Christmas, about what it means to be a Christian, who this Jesus is. If that's the case, then we're starting a new Christianity Explored course after Christmas, which is a great opportunity to ask our questions and to find out more, and you'll find details in the order of service. But maybe in the quietness now, maybe you'd like to respond to the God who in love came for you. Grace to save you. Truth to guide you. Hope to transform you and me. His gift, the gift you could never, ever deserve. And it's freely given for you. Let me pray. And do echo that prayer. Make it yours if you'd like to do that tonight. Dear God, thank you for Christmas. Thank you that Jesus was willing to come and live as one of us. Thank you that whatever we are facing this Christmas, he gets it. I'm sorry for the way that I've treated other people. Sorry for the way I've treated you. I don't deserve anything from you. Thank you that Jesus came to offer me the free gift of life and forgiveness. Lord Jesus, take my sin and deal with it so that I can live as your friend. And unafraid. Please, Lord Jesus, may you be the priority of my life. Show me how I may live your way and walk your truth starting today. Lord, hear us. Amen.